Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to We'll See About That. Ron Say here with Mike Gary. And Mike, I got to tell you, we finished last week, and I was unable to watch the final segment of Succession.
I'm heartbroken over that.
I understand. I was heartbroken too, but I ran into a fire stick. And I had a chemical burn my eyes. Yeah, I was working in the yard, and I got this stuff on me, and I didn't realize it's a white, milky substance when you start cutting them and putting them in. And if they drip and leak a little bit, again, it gets on your hands, and apparently I didn't have enough of that washed off. And it got into my eyes, and then from that point on, it was a blur and pain, and my eyes were red, and tears were running out of my eyes, and my nose is leaking, and I'm going to the emergency room.
Wow.
Yeah, it was that bad. And the guy says, on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you rate this? And I said, well, I've never had pain in this, like in my eyes like this before, so I can't give you. And he says, well, we'll just put a 10 down. I said, fine. And so a lady administered these steroid drops in my eye, which helped it a bit. Went and got the prescription, went home, got in bed, and I can tell you that it wasn't until about 2 o'clock in the morning that this pain started going away. So I recommend all you gardeners out there who want to play with fire sticks, beware. It is not something you want to get in your eyes. And so, you know, I was thrilled that I finally was able to get some relief and can show up and do the show today. But sorry about the delay in Succession. I plan on watching that tonight.
Well, we're happy to have you back. And you mentioned the steroids, so I hope the Hall of Fame's not listening.
Well, I'm not under contract anymore, so I got to do what I can do. But anyway, I suppose that my son-in-law was very disappointed in the Boston Celtics Game 7 performance against Miami. And I don't think he watched it past the first half. It was such a horrible experience for Boston fans, getting that close, coming back that far, trying to be the first team in 150 people that are other teams that have tried fell short. So
I've watched it several times because I take great joy as a Laker fan watching the Celtics fans.
That's true. You have this relationship with the Lakers. Anything else you'd like to report about?
Well, we have a great guest today. We have the one and only Mr. Greg Jeffries.
Yes, he is. And he is a 14-year Major League Baseball player. And we are going to return with Greg Jeffries right after this.
Hello, everyone. Fred Dreyer here for Balance7.com. Do you suffer from low energy, acid reflux, heartburn, joint discomfort, or a weak immune system? Well, Balance7 is your answer. Balance7 dilutes the acid in your body and kickstarts your immune system. That's right. 3 sips a day is all you need. In 3 days, you will feel the difference. Balance7 is my go-to drink to energize me every day. Stop taking those caffeinated, sugar-filled energy drinks. Balance7 works. Remember, a sick body is an acid body. So, cut the acid in your body with Balance 7. Go to Balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. Use the code word FRED to get $15 off your order and free shipping. Plus a money-back guarantee. Man, you can't beat this. Call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Or go to Balance7.com and don't forget the code word FRED. Fred.
Hi, this is Dodger legend Ron Say. If you're a business owner, would you like to save 20 to 30% on your monthly health insurance premium while improving your benefits? Then give BFF Financial a call. If you have more than 10 employees and you're interested in building a tax-free retirement income that can be funded with tax-deductible dollars, then give BFF Financial a call at 888-908-4BFF. Those are just two of the things that my friends at BFF Financial can help you with. They make some of the most important financial decisions that a business owner must make easy to understand. Many of my friends who are business owners always talk about how much they are looking to stretch their budgets and do more for their employees, their family, and themselves. If you are in this same situation, give my friends at BFF Financial a call at 888-908-4BFF. Call the team at BFF Financial at 888-908-4BFF to get a free consultation. Tell them Ron sent you. BFF Financial, simplifying the complex. 888-908-4BFF or visit us at bfffinancial.com.
Imagine getting ahead of your irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C by treating it with Linzess. Then you could start proactively managing your constipation with belly pain and get ahead of your symptoms. Talk to your doctor about Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine, what could relief from IBS-C mean for you? Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
They still call me the Penguin.
Hello, everyone, and we're back. We'll see about that. Ron Say here, Mike Gary, and our special guest, Greg Jeffries. Greg, welcome to the show. Glad to have you here.
Thank you, guys.
You had a unique experience, I would say, growing up in Northern California. Born and raised, I guess, in Burlington and San Mateo, and you went to Parkside Junior High School, and I know your dad was really, really, really involved in your early stages of playing baseball. Give us an opportunity to understand some of those workouts that he put you through. I heard they're pretty unique as well.
Yeah, they were. I never knew what I was going to get coming home. And, you know, I want to clarify first with, there's always been things said about, oh, my dad pushed me, this and that. He never forced me and my brother work out. That is the one thing I want to make sure everybody knows. Never slave driver, never you got to do this. And he just made drills fun for us. And I think the most popular drill I've had is me swinging the bat in the pool. And I came home one day and I see a bat cut in half where the barrel is and tennis shoes by the pool. I'm like, oh, what are we doing now? I go, Dad, now what? He goes, get those shoes on and get in the pool with the bat. So I did. And he said, now start swinging the bat underwater as hard as you can through and then as hard as you can back. And about the 10th swing, I was worn out. Yeah. And it was just, it's pure resistance. And he learned it from some NFL teams. And it's so funny. I saw a picture recently of Muhammad Ali training underwater. So it was just something that I did. And when I coached high school, I cleared it with the swim team to see if I could bring my boys on the high school team in the pool. And they said yes. And so that was part of the training I've always used. I had my boys do it too.
Yeah, aqua aerobics, the resistance of the water, it is phenomenally hard. The repetitions you do go, it's consistent. It's great work. It really is great work. You know, I had two guys that I went to school with in college that were swimmers, and these guys going through the water all the time, getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning. They were in great shape all the time, and really helped them a lot, endurance wise as well. You did some other things too, right? I mean, you went to Juniper Sierra High School. You were a football and baseball star. When did you make the decision about not to play football?
You know, it's funny. Before we talk about this, Mike, I don't know if you know how much I idolized Ron growing up. And I know he's not going to bring it up, but I want to tell people up front, I wore number 10 because of this man in high school. I loved the Dodgers. We would go watch them play, but Ron, he was my guy. And for me to talk to you is still, I know we've talked on the phone quite often, but it's still an honor and thrill for me to call you my friend. It's a really cool experience for me.
Well, I can tell you it's mutual, because I had a guy that I was my favorite player, my guy, Willie Mays. And the unique thing about that for me that didn't happen to us is that I got to play against my idol. And the very first time that I played against him in an exhibition game in St. Petersburg when he was with the Mets, ironically, he was in his last year of baseball. And the very first pitch that he saw that day had a line drive to me. And I was thrilled. It was the last out of the inning, and I walked off. I had the glove and the ball. I took the ball. I put it in my bag. I don't know where that ball is today. But later in the season, Willie hit a home run in Shea Stadium against us, and I've got my glove over my face like this. Yeah. And I'm smiling because I'm saying, here comes my man. This guy just hit a home run. I want to shake his hand. And I didn't. But the coolest thing was that we were able to develop a relationship, something like what we have.
Right.
And it's been a thrill.
I don't think people realize that big league players have idols. They have people they grew up watching. And your team was – and I know I'm jumping ahead of the question, but your team was the reason I switch hit. And when you asked me, hey, what do you want to talk about? And I said, whatever you want. But I do want to bring up eventually, you know, what a huge meaning your Dodger team meant to me as a kid and what it really – how it gravitated me towards switch hitting. And it might sound strange, you know, because you really only had one switch hitter on that starting team with Reggie that I would copy, and I'd always hit left-handed. But and hopefully we can get to that. But getting back to your question, I was actually better at football than baseball. I was close to going to USC to play both. And then Cal State Fullerton just came off a World Series in baseball. And, you know, I knew my future realistically was in baseball rather than football. But I played football all the way up to my senior year. And a lot of scouts my senior year would ask my father, because my dad was a teacher, but he was also a scout with the Cubs. So he knew a lot of the scouts and stuff. And they said, hey, Rich, can you maybe tell Greg not to play football? Yeah. And his exact words were, you go tell him.
Yeah.
And I'd have scouts come to me and, hey, Greg, how about not playing football? I'm like, no, I love football. I'm never going to not play. I love it. It's still my favorite sport to watch. And I just, it was more my mentality than baseball was.
So what made you decide finally not to do it?
You know, when I think because Cal State Fullerton one came off the World Series, and when I graduated high school, I was like, okay, do I really want to try to be a two-sport athlete, or do I want to try to focus on one? And obviously, baseball, even though I thought I was better at football, I thought maybe the longevity for me, maybe the quicker road was for baseball. And then the decision was made easy for me because I was a first-round pick out of high school.
Right.
So that was pretty easy. But I took all my five trips for football. I took my five trips for baseball. But something about Cal State Fullerton and just them coming off the World Series, the way they did it, it was just a really scrappy team. And I really gravitated towards that also.
Augie Garrido, the coach at that time?
Yeah, Augie was there. I love Augie.
He's a fireball.
He was one of... When I decided to go sign my contract, him and another coach were the only ones that called me and congratulated me. I think the other coaches were a little mad I didn't go to the schools. But those two guys called me and said, hey, you know, congratulations, good luck in your pro career. And I'll never forget that. You know, but I loved Augie. He was such a tremendous coach, and I really enjoy him.
You know, I had a similar experience when I was in high school, too. I had an opportunity to play football, and I actually had an opportunity to play basketball. It became a point that in my senior year in high school, I got hurt before the season started. I only played half the season. We only played 8 games. I realized then that, I needed, because my heart was set on playing baseball, that I had to give up something that I really loved to do. And it wasn't until the first day of fall practice in football, when I got to Washington State University, I took my scholarship and ran, and I was actually drafted by the Mets out of high school, but I had the Vietnam War staring me in the face, so the right. decision was easy. I had to be in school. And the thing was is that one of the football coaches came over to the fraternity house because I didn't show up for the first day of football practice. And I later had to tell him that I had made a difficult decision, but I had to turn that down. So I totally understand. You got to make a decision. I ended up playing, flag football for the fraternity, and we were campus champions and all that stuff. But it was a lot of fun. But, you do have tough decisions to make. I do want you to get into talking about switch hitting and the childhood games that you played. We've only got 1 minute left in this segment. So I want to hold that for the next one coming around.
Yeah, let me just jump in here fast and circle back to what something you said, Greg. And, this is not just lip service you gave to the great Ron Say. I pulled this from an interview you gave about 4 years ago to a Mets magazine. Quote, "The ultimate guy was Ron Say. I was number 10 in high school. And when I thought about 7 in school, I used to write Greg Say Jeffries. The Dodgers were my favorite team growing up in the 1988. And I'm taking around ground balls at third base at Dodger Stadium. And I see this guy starting to walk toward me with a little guy. And I'm like, what's going on? Did they get released? Is someone going to tell me to get off the field? I look over and it's Ron Say. And he goes, Greg, come here. I said, Mr. Say, you're my favorite player growing up. And Mr. Ron Say says, that's what I heard. I just want to tell you that you're my son's favorite player too. So everything comes full circle. And we'll see more about that right after the break.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. If you've had a revision or removal surgery of a hernia mesh implant after 2008, pay close attention to this message. Hernia mesh manufacturers have recalled some of the mesh material that may have been used in your surgery due to high failure rate. The FDA has even blamed the recalled mesh material for some of the worst of the health issues reported by doctors and patients. If you've had 2 or more hernia surgeries for the same issue and you're having severe complications, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now.
800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. That's 800-817-2968.
If you're moving to another state, you're getting a fresh start in a brand new town. And when you choose a moving company to help get your valuable possessions to that new home of yours, you want somebody that's going to take care of your things like you would. That's why you need to call Colonial Van Lines. They're America's number one moving company for a reason. Because they'll take care of your things like they would their possessions. They'll use caution so nothing gets damaged. And they won't treat you like a number, they'll treat you like a friend. And when you call now on a qualified move across state lines, they'll give you a $250 discount. Move your things the right way. Call Colonial Van Lines now for a free quote.
Call now to learn more about this special $250 long-distance move discount. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. That's 800-847-0225.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Ron Say. And welcome. We are back. Ron Say, Mike Gary, and Greg Jeffries. Greg, go ahead and continue where you were.
Yeah, you asked how I switched hit, and it was really your team. You know, my brother and I used to play plastic baseball in the backyard every day. I mean, and it was a little small golf ball with the holes in it.
Right.
And we had this tiny bat, and I was always a Dodgers. And I knew all the batting stances, Lopes, Russell, Reggie's, Garvey's, yours, Dusty's. I mean, I knew everybody on that team. Well, when I was hit, when Reggie Smith would come up third, I would turn around left-handed. And then when Rick Monday came up, I would turn around, obviously hit left-handed. And before you know it, my brother's 3 years older than me. He's like, hey, go show Dad your swing left-handed. And I'm like, what are you talking about, Dean? He goes, just go show him. So I said, hey, Dad, and I had to be 12 years old probably. I said, hey, Dad, I want you to look at my left-hand swing. And my dad's super old school. He's like, what? I go, yeah, could you look at it? He goes, all right, let me see it. So I show him. He goes, all right, here's the drills that I want you to work on, and I'm not going to look at it for a month. He wanted to see how much I was going to work at it. Well, I became obsessed with it. And after that month's time, he goes, yeah, you got a chance. And from that moment on, that's when I really dove into being a switch hitter. But it was all stemming from the Reggie Smith batting stance, the Rick Monday batting stance. And I just started squaring up the wiffle balls. I just started hitting line drives. And before you know it, I was like, wow, I'm starting to feel pretty comfortable here.
I had a similar experience growing up, too. I played wiffle ball. I played tennis ball. I played sock ball. You name it. Paint a strike square on the brick at the school. Played in the backyards. If you hit it in the second yard, it was a double. If you hit it over the house in the fourth
yes.
yard, it was a home run.
Yes.
And I remember taking my brother and playing wiffle ball, and that's when I started emulating Mickey Mantle, Yogi Berra, Ted Williams,
sure.
all those guys, Roger Maris. I enjoyed hitting more left-handed because it was new. I already knew what I could do right-handed, and it was actually, and I mean this sincerely, it was fair when I hit left-handed. Because I could not develop that same power from the left side. I could not hit the real baseball the same way. So that's where my switch hitting ended. Yours got much better. But I do remember Bill Russell, who started to switch hit. We had him in the Arizona Fall League, which was the Arizona Instructional League back then. And I remember him getting started switch hitting, and one of the very first games he hit was over in Mesa when the Pilots were there, Seattle Pilots, I believe it was. And he hit a home run over the scoreboard. And
wow.
I'm saying, oh, my God, you know, where did that come from? Why haven't you been on this side of the plate? And
why wouldn't he stick with that?
Yeah, well, the problem was is that the success ran out in a hurry.
Oh.
You know,
okay,
he was
up
just,
to him.
Yeah, just couldn't. So they ended up, you know, kind of apologetically backing out of it and saying, you know what, we're not going to harm you any further. You know, let's go back to the right side and we'll forget about this experiment. And he goes on to be a lifetime Dodger.
Yeah. Mike, I don't know if you know the story, actually, how I got a hold of Ron. I've had Ron's number for years. A friend of mine knows Ron's son really well. And he gave me Ron's number. And I'm like, I can't do it. I can't text him. I get nervous looking at him. I'm like, I can't. And remember, I'm a retired big league guy. So when COVID hit, and Ron knows this story because we've talked for it. Like the first time we talked, I think we were on the phone for an hour. And they were playing the old, I think it was a Yankee Dodger 78 World Series, I think. And I'm like, forget, I'm going to text him. I don't care. I'm going to text him, not expecting any response. But it was same thing. Mr. Say, I'm sitting here watching the game, and I just want to tell you, you know, blah, 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 the whole thing. Well, automatically you see those bubbles. I'm like, no way he's texting me back. And it was instantaneously he's texting me back. I'm like, this is the coolest thing. But then it's like fear sets in, like, okay, now what do I do? Now, how do I respond? And then he goes, hey, why don't you give me a call? And I'm like, Dad, Ron Say just told me to call him. So I'm still a kid when I think about this Dodger team. because it brought back so many great memories. And to kind of expand on the 1988 Mets thing, so we fly into Dodgers, you know, LA to play the Dodgers, and I'm taking ground balls at third base, and I see out of the corner of my eye this guy walking over with a little guy. But the guy's in a suit, so I'm like, okay, something in my past caught up to me. Am I getting arrested? What's happening here? And sure enough, it was Ron, nice enough to come over and say hi and tell me I was his son's favorite player. Topps heard of it. The baseball card heard about this exchange, and they made this Idol series, which I thought was the coolest series, where it's the recent big league guys, and they ask you who your idol is. And obviously mine was Ron. So there's a big picture of Ron on the baseball card and me up in the top. And I thought it was the coolest idea, and I still have that card.
Yeah, well, we've just got it on the screen, too, and it is. It's. Are you sure I was wearing a suit that day? I mean, that's really out of character for me.
No, you dress, well, maybe in my mind, maybe you could have been wearing a Hawaiian shirt and shorts.
Yeah, could have.
I was so awestruck, you were wearing a tuxedo, I think.
Yeah, well, that part is not past me. I've worn the tuxedo to the ball game. As a matter of fact, one opening day, I showed up wearing the tuxedo, and they gave me a standing ovation.
No, but it's a thrill. I mean, I'm 55, and I still remember it like it was yesterday. Just the feeling of meeting you, and, you know, it was – well, it's like when you met Willie Mays. It's yeah. just – something that you'll never forget.
No, you won't. And you know, I'm thrilled that you have pretty much taken this the same way that I did. You know,
without a question,
it's a thrill to have that happen to you. And now that it happens back to you in a different way, I hope the experience has been as good for you as it has been for me.
100%.
Yeah. Greg, what made you, I mean, you grew up in, you know, north of San Francisco, just outside the San Francisco city limits. What made you a Dodger fan rather than a Giant fan?
And I get that question all the time. The reason was, it was either, so back in our day, it was only Saturday baseball and Monday
right.
night baseball.
Right.
But because the Dodgers, the Reds, I think the Pirates and Yankees were so good.
Yes.
They always were on TV. They always were either the Saturday game, Monday night game. So I don't know what it was. Because my brother's a huge Reds fan. But something about that Dodger team, I don't know. I don't know what it was. Well, they were really good. And I just liked the brand of play. I really enjoyed watching that team play. And I just loved the way Ron played. You know what it was? And Ron, I never told you this. The first reason I loved you right away, I loved your glove you used in the field. I just thought it was the coolest looking glove. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to start watching this guy. And it just took off from them. But it was your glove. It was just a simple glove that you were wearing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's kind of a cool looking glove. And I think it might have been a Wilson or something. I don't know, but
it was. It was a Wilson.
I just think yeah. it was a really it,
and
it was
McGregor. A, McGregor was the one I
like a darker most. Brown color.
A
and
bit.
I don't know. I just yeah. it was pretty cool for me. It's weird how as a 10-year-old kid, something like that just attracts you to a guy.
Product awareness. And,
exactly.
You know,
exactly.
We had a very unique experience that did not happen. You know, Nike approached me and asked if, you know, I could possibly be the conduit between the rest of the players in the infield to all have us endorse Nike. We had three on board. One abstained because of his arrangement, but... that could have been something a lot bigger if the other party would have taken a bigger look at it at the time.
Yeah,
we could have had some Air Penguin.
Well, I do have there. You know, my Penguin poster is Nike, and of course that's you know, it's part of the book too. It's in the book. But the association, you know, people understand what you wear, and they go buy the product. So it would have been huge if we'd have been able to put that together. But needless to say, it didn't keep us from becoming the longest running and most successful, by fact, infield Major League history.
I always wanted to ask you about that. There had to be such a comfort feeling knowing who was on your left side, who you were throwing over to. You know, what was that feeling just knowing these guys were going to show up to spring training every year That's a huge asset for you guys.
We were the foundation of the field or the team for, you know, pretty much a 10-year period. Right. And I know Tom Lasorda loved it. I know that the inner office loved it because any time that you can have, you know, four pieces of the puzzle on an everyday basis, knowing that, you know, we didn't get hurt. We didn't get hurt. I don't know what goes on today, but we just did not get hurt. And
yeah,
we averaged probably 150 games a year apiece for quite some time. So it was, you know, and then we backed it up, and you know, then we, you know, we had all kinds of all-star caliber players. You know, when I first broke in my rookie year, we had Willie Davis in center field.
Yeah.
And he's still the fastest guy I think I've ever seen in baseball. The next year after that, Jimmy Winn comes over, the toy cannon from Houston, and hits 30-some home runs with 100 RBIs and 100 runs scored, and we go to the World Series against Oakland, and we lose. But, you know, then we bring in Dusty Baker and Reggie Smith and Rick Monday and, you know, every member of that team at some point.
The team
point
that time, I grew up with, that team right there.
That team there, you know, every member of that club was a multiple-time All-Star. And I got to tell you, we were the first team to take Major League Baseball to the 3 million attendance level. They do live in the house that we built.
I agree. And there was just something about that team. Even with Steve Yeager, his arm was just so fun to watch.
Yes.
So you had all these specific guys that did so many things well. And I think, well, maybe I answered my own question. Maybe that's why I love this team so much. I mean, Davey Lopes gets on, it's a stolen base.
Right.
You know, ground ball hit to Bill Russell, it's an out. You know, you, Garvey Smith, with your guys' power, it was just such a, it was like somebody just put these pieces in perfectly and it just worked.
It did work for a long time. Four World Series, four a World Championship, and a lot of All-Star caliber players in there on a regular basis. And we're going to cut for a break. We're going to be back with Greg Jeseries. We'll see about that right after this.
Wendy's Strawberry Frosty is back for the summer. Because if it's summertime, it's Frosty time. Beach time? Frosty time. Tea time? Frosty time. Me time? Frosty time. Treat yourself to Wendy's Strawberry Frosty this summer and make time for Frosty time. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's. Now open till midnight or later.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's. Hours may vary.
Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
Wake up, people. You're optimizing every waking hour of your life. From carpooling kids, to work, to friends, and everything in between. You have to get sleep and a bed that can perform as well as you do. Meet the next generation Sleep Number Smart Bed. It effortlessly adjusts to your shape, position, and movements, learning how you sleep so you learn to sleep better night after night. Sleep next level, only from Sleep Number. And now during our Memorial Day sale, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus free home delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
This is Ron Barr. Father's Day was always special for me and my dad. We'd go to a ball game, go fishing, or maybe even take a trip. There were things that made Father's Day unique and unforgettable for us. I've got a suggestion that will make it the same way for you and your dad. Give him the Omaha Steaks, Dad's Want Steaks package. I can't think of a better way to celebrate his day than barbecuing with your dad. As a special to our listeners, when you go to omahasteaks.com and order the Dad's Want Steaks package, type in sports and get $30 off. I've tasted all the great products from Omaha Steaks, and I guarantee you'll like it, and so will your dad. Give him more than just a gift. Send him an experience he can share with you. Go to omahasteaks.com and order the Dad's Want Steaks package today. You'll get 16 entrees and 4 desserts, plus 8 free Omaha Steaks burgers with your order. It'll be a Father's Day your dad and you will always remember. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword sports.
Steve Carlin going head-to-head with Ron Say. High drive into deep left field. Back goes Leszczynski. It's gone! Fred Slammer!
2-2 to Say. It's a high in the air to deep left field. Whipping back. She's gone!
This Week in Dodger History is brought to you by BFF Financial. The solutions are ours. The decisions are yours.
The fans.
And we are back. We'll see about that. Today, this week in Dodger history, presented by BFF Financial, Yasiel Puig has 2 hits in his major league debut and makes a strong throw from right field to complete a game-ending double play as the Dodgers defeated the Padres 2-1. Scott Van Slyke and Adrian Gonzalez both hit solo home runs to account for the Dodgers' 2 runs, while Stephen Fife earned the first victory of his career.
And what a tremendous start that he had in the beginning. Lit the place on fire, and it's unfortunate that it turned and went south as fast as it did. I want to get back to you, Greg. When you first came to the Mets, it wasn't easy, was it? You were already a 2-time minor league player of the year. And I did something similar, except I wasn't a 2-time minor league player of the year. Maybe top 5, but not minor league player of the year, and I had to do it twice. I would imagine that it's a good thing and it's a bad thing. You're happy that you did it, but you didn't want to have to do it twice.
Yeah, it was the Mets situation. Number one, it wasn't as bad as the media. Ron, you know how the media in New York is. Like, right. Bad stories sell, good stories right. Don't.
Of course.
It wasn't as bad as they wanted to make it, but I was on an island for sure. I was the only starting rookie on that team. But the hardest thing about that is they were coming off a World Series in 86. Wally Backman was one of their team leaders. Wally was always good to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all of a sudden, 87, I get brought up and play pretty well. Well, now I'm replacing Wally Backman. And I didn't ask for that. I was like, I'm just happy to be here. And it caused some resentment with the veteran players. And I could see it. I could understand why. I was pretty temperamental. Sometimes I didn't handle my emotions very well. I think the coolest thing that has happened to me in the past 3 or 4 years, a lot of those veteran guys came out and stated that just how poorly they treated me. And not that I needed it, but it was really cool that they said,
yeah,
man, we were wrong. We were wrong the way we, as hard as we were treating this kid. And I'm talking about going on a 2-week road trip and having 24 bats and one of our pitchers breaking every one of my bat in the first week of the series.
Now, how did he do that exactly?
he got a saw and sawed them in half to where our starting players really got mad at this guy and said, look, he's our starting second baseman and he has no bats. And it was things like that. It was, not easy. And Ron, look, you grew up in that same era. That was baseball back then was a little bit different. A
lot different.
You had to earn your stripes.
Right.
But I was also replacing a team favorite, and that wasn't easy. But I mean,
understood.
Everything, as time goes on, everything worked out fine.
Well, yeah, but I mean, are we trying to be a teammate here? I mean, this is important.
It's just different. It was a different time. I will never say anything bad about those players because they made me the player that I am. I learned a lot from that group, and I learned how to take the good and the bad, Another bad thing is I was getting compared to Mickey Mantle, and I'm like, are you guys kidding? And I stated the only 2 similarities between me and Mickey Mantle was we both switch hit and we both were male. That's it. There's nothing else that follows that.
Yeah, it's a little unfair,
Well, and you're 20 years old. You were 20 years old at the time too.
I just turned 20,
living in New York City
the whole year, and I built a friendship with Mickey, and we would laugh about it, And I would jokingly say, Mickey, they're comparing me to you. You know I'm better than you are. You know, and he would laugh and I laugh because we know how ridiculous it was.
Yeah.
And you talk about just a wonderful man. He was just – there's two people that I cried with when they passed away, athletes. One was Mick and the other one was Arnold Palmer.
Huh.
And when those two people passed, it affected me pretty bad.
Well, you know, Mickey was a treasure, a baseball treasure, and it's unfortunate that, you know, it ended rather tragically for him, too. You had a 14-year career. You bounced around with some teams. You eventually get over to St. Louis, and this is the 2 years that you become an all-star player. What was the difference? Who was your manager? What was the difference in you now being able to get to this level?
I think that is one of my biggest regrets, was not staying in St. Louis. Joe Torre was our manager, and when I first got there, Joe calls me in the office, and I'm like, okay, I just got here. What did I do wrong already? And then Ozzy comes to follow. And Joe sits both us down and says, look, you two control the locker room. If there's something wrong that you guys can't handle, come to me. But if not, you guys handle it. And I'm like, wow, that is actually pretty cool that he gives us that ability to – and that was such a great young team. And I don't know what it was. I think maybe playing on turf. I think maybe just relaxing a little bit. I don't know. Maybe moving over to first base. And I really wanted to stay there. Like, Joe and I would always talk about me staying. I said, Joe, just – we had the wrong ownership. We had – when Bush Sr. was there, he was great. Well, Bush Jr. – when Bush Sr. died, Bush Jr. took over. And he came out flat on said, look, I don't like baseball. He wanted to get rid of Ozzy. He wanted to get rid of Joe. And I just say, Joe and I would meet. I said, Joe, I will take the same exact money. I don't need a raise. All I want, because back then a no trade clause was really important.
Right.
You know, because you don't want to get shipped off to a last place team.
I totally understand.
And I said, is there any way I could just get a no trade? Just that one line, we will not trade you unless you accept it. And back then that was the big deal. And looking back now, the contract I signed for, that really was my no trade clause. So I really wish I would have stayed there. The people are amazing. But panic was setting in a little bit because we knew the strike was coming.
Right.
And all of a sudden you're not with the team and now you're going into a strike without a team. That's a little, you get a little fearful there.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, look, you had a terrific time with the Cardinals. Who were some of the other players your favorite players that you had, the toughest pitchers?
In my career?
Yeah.
Favorite player I've ever played with is easy as George Brett. George was, and I'm still friends with him today, he was the most normal superstar I've ever played with. And I loved playing. Him and I would always play cards together on the plane.
Oh, no.
And it would start off with gin, and we'd have pretty good games. And then I think he actually started drinking too much gin.
Yeah.
And then,
he
started turning my way a little bit better. So I always looked forward to those games because I would get free dinners. He'd owe me money. So that was always fun.
Yeah. Well, George is not only was he a great player, he's a really good guy, too. So I understand.
Great
that
guy. George was great. The hardest pitcher I've ever faced was a guy named Juan Guzman. It was when Toronto had their World Series back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me fits because he threw extremely hard. But back then, that's when the forkball really kind of started coming into play of the game. And he had a master on it. He threw that thing hard. I couldn't pick him up. And then they'd have Dwayne Ward coming out of the bullpen. Those weren't too easy guys to see.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, that Juan Guzman was the hardest guy I've ever had to face.
Who'd you own?
I was just about to ask that. Yeah, who'd you feast off of, Greg?
Well, put it this way: I was way better against the 1-2 starter than the 3-4 starter.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I just really buckled down on those guys. I'll give you an example. We'd go and play Atlanta, and I'd go 2-for-3 off Maddox. You know, 2-for-4 off Glavin. And then they'll pitch Avery or these guys were good, Avery or Millwood, and I'd end up going 0-for-5.
Yeah.
You know, so Pedro I hit pretty well. I don't know what it was, but I think maybe I focused on a lot more trying to pick something up on them. And they always asked me how I hit Pedro so well. I said, I could pick up his changeup because he's pushing his chest out when he throws it. And I go, can't you guys see that? And they're like, Greg, you are crazy. We don't see anything.
Yeah.
But for some reason, it seemed like when I was hitting against him, his chest would cut, his hand is, it'd be way behind his chest when he threw that changeup. And I just picked that up. So it was little things. And Ron, I'm sure you could attest to this. There's things that, you know, maybe you picked up Carlton's slider better than some other guys because you just saw something.
Well, I had some success. I had more home runs off Tom Seaver than I did anybody else in my career. I
drove That's crazy.
I drove in more runs off of Tom Seaver than I did anybody else in my career. And on the left side of the plate is Steve Carlton.
Two of the best pitchers of all time, both in the Hall
now,
of Fame.
Did you pick up something, or did you just bear down more?
I'm not sure. I know.
Exactly.
You know, it just kind of the style. Just you know, it wasn't intimidating. I was thrilled to be. I definitely my eyes lit up when I was facing him. I remember the very first time that I was a rookie, and the Mets came to Dodger Stadium. Tom Seaver was pitching that night, and I could not wait to get to the ballpark to face Tom Seaver. I mean, I usually did not.
Not many people can say that.
No, I'm just saying it was just such a thrill for me to be able to go out there and say, oh, my God, you know,
yeah.
I get a chance to hit off Tom Seaver. The first two times I faced him, I got base hits. Now, I did not hit him well. I hurt him at times, much like I did Carlton. And if there was a guy that I probably had more success across the board in every category, it was probably Vida Blue. And
That's crazy.
I can't explain that. I think I hit a home run on every pitch that he threw me. Different one. Slider, fastball,
curveball. You can hit that fastball, though. That's one thing. That Dodgers team can hit the fastball, too.
You have to hit the fastball. I mean, today, you know, you talked about the fork ball. It doesn't exist in today's game. You know, it's a cutter, it's a fastball, and it's another fastball, and it's another fastball.
Don't they have some new name for a curveball now?
It's a sweeper. It's the sweeping
pitch.
What are we
doing now? What the sweeper and let's hit balls in the air all the time and hey strikeouts are okay. It's like I don't get this game that we're playing anymore.
Well,
and,
you know, with all the rule changes,
my sophomore actually paid me a compliment without knowing it. He goes, you know, Dad, I think you're almost too old school. I'm like, you know what, Jace? Yeah. I will take that because I guarantee you, if I hit a home run off Nolan Ryan or Roger Clemens, do you think I'm going to be in the dugout wearing that crown?
Oh, no,
and a necklace. Are you kidding me?
Not in our school, no.
There's no chance that would happen.
No, you're going to get some chin music real fast.
Without a question.
Yeah.
Let me just throw this in here because we're running out of time. But Greg Jeffries, among players with at least 1,200 games played since 1908, you are only one of 11. Only one of 11 MLB players of the thousands of MLB players that have gone through the leagues to have less than 350 strikeouts, steal 150 more bases, collect a 1,500 or more hits, and post an OBP of 340. One of 11. Congratulations.
You must be absolutely going nuts when you see these guys striking out as much as they do. And we've only got 1 minute to go. And I wanted to say that, you know, we've got so much left on the plate. I do want to thank you very much for joining us, Greg. And I know that you're off taking your kids to some baseball thing. You wanted to tell us about that before you take a hike?
Yeah, my son got picked for this pretty big event out here. So he's starting now to get invited to things. And I usually would just hit delete, 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 showcase, delete, showcase, delete. Well, now I'm thinking, and it was here in Vegas, so it's just easier. But some of these things are good, but some of these things, I don't know how good they are. But he's enjoying this right now.
All right. Good luck to you, and good luck to your kids.
Thanks so much, Greg. Really appreciate it.
We'll do it again.
Here's a simple solution for you. If you have back pain, knee pain, or any other pain in your body, it's as simple as drinking a glass of water every day. Your body is over 60% water, and drinking the best water you can get is crucial for your health. Echo Antioxidant Water, developed by Synergy Science, is the best water you can drink, and it's only available through this special radio offer. Over 1,000 research studies have shown that the powerful antioxidant used in Echo Antioxidant Water can reduce inflammation, improve brain function, help you sleep better, and boost gut health. With just 2 glasses a day, you can experience these benefits right from the comfort of your home. Some people have even replaced their morning coffee jolt with Echo Antioxidant Water. Call now and learn which Echo product by Synergy Science is right for you. We offer free shipping and a full 30-day money-back guarantee. Change your health by simply changing your water.
800-944-1789. 800-944-1789. 800-944-1789. That's 800-944-1789.
If you're taking a calcium supplement, it's probably not doing what you think it is. That's because you still lose bone density with traditional calcium supplements. That's where calcium from algae comes in. AlgaeCal Plus doesn't just stop bone loss. It's the only supplement ever shown to increase bone density in clinical studies. That's right. AlgaeCal Plus increases bone density, even if you're in your 80s. That's because your bones need more than just calcium and vitamin D to stay strong. There are actually 13 minerals and 3 vitamins needed to build healthy new bone, and AlgaeCal Plus contains all of them, and it's proudly made in the USA. Your calcium doesn't increase bone density. AlgaeCal Plus does. Talk to one of our bone health consultants today and see how AlgaeCal Plus can start increasing your bone density. Call now.
800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. That's 800-437-8217.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
Campy, just fine.
Hey, say, how you doing it?
One game at a...
Hello, everyone, and we're back for the final segment of We'll See About That. Ron Say, Mike Gary, and I want to thank our special guest, Greg Jeffries, for being on our podcast. We've got a lot left to cover with him. We'll have him on another time. But I wanted to go back, Mike, when we had This Day in Dodger History, Yasiel Puig. This is a guy that risked his life coming over on a raft from Cuba 2 different times and has an extraordinary amount of money thrown his way and is surrounded by people who are, you know, wannabes, and has this terrific opportunity to, you know, be in one of the biggest media centers in the country. And a lot of bad decisions were made.
It was really kind of sad looking back at it in retrospect. You know, we talked about that, his debut. I watched that game live. I remember that throw from the outfield. It was amazing. The crowd went wild. I mean, and Vince Scully naming him the wild horse, right, and the affection he had for that. But I knew he was in trouble when opening day, his second year, I see on TV he pulls up to Dodger Stadium in a white Rolls Royce Phantom. And then I knew he was going to be in trouble after that.
Not a good idea.
No.
And I do recall a time in spring training early when he decided to show up for the workouts in a helicopter. Not a good idea. He started to get away from his dream. He got involved in a lot of things. His lifespan here was not very long. The Dodgers, I believe, jumped out a little bit early with trying to make him the poster boy, which hurt. because then he started making demands. And, you know, now I think you have last seen him possibly in Korea playing. And it's a far cry from where he was. It's really kind of a shame to see that happen a little bit too much too early for a player who had a career in baseball.
And, you know, something that was so, you know, it felt so special and the future seemed so bright. And now it turned out to be a cautionary tale.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
I think lessons can be learned from Puig.
Well, I would hope so, you know, and I mean that all the way around, too, from the organization handing him the poster boy thing, too. It was just too premature. We're going to be coming back next week, and we're going to have a roundtable discussion again next week. I hope you'll be here to join us. Thanks for being with us today. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week.
See you about that. Bye.